Spent the first several weeks after Easter on the book of Acts, and we spent about 4 weeks on the first few chapters of Acts, from fear to faith, and that journey along the way with all of them. But today I wanted to go back into the Old Testament just a little bit and just talk about the faithfulness of God in our lives and just how faithful God is in our lives. And I was preparing this, I was thinking about a story I once heard. And with pastor stories, you never really know if they're true or not. You know, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, and the stories have surely been exaggerated. But that's just part of it. And I began thinking about a story I once heard about a gentleman that was a senior citizen, and he was walking, and he got hit by a car, and his head hit the ground. And they rushed him to the hospital, and several days later, he woke up from the coma. And the first person he saw sitting there next to him was his faithful wife. And he looked at her and he said, "You've been here the entire time?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And he said, "You've always been there with me." And he said, "In high school, as I barely graduated high school, you were there with me. When I applied for colleges and I didn't get in any of them, and then I finally got into one of them, you were there. When I failed several classes, you were still there. When I graduated and I applied for all kinds of positions and jobs, and failure letter after failure letter came in, you were still there. When I finally landed my job, you were there. And when I lost that job, you were still there. After years of life and doctor's reports of sicknesses, all of these things took place and you were always there." Her eyes began filling up with tears. And she began recounting all of this too. And he said, "You know, I began thinking about something." And she just knew the love was getting ready to pour out of his mouth with her faithfulness. And he said, "I think you're really bad luck." And that's how I think sometimes we are with God. You know, we're going through life and situations are changing. And sometimes, you know, newsflash, if you're in a good season of your life right now, enjoy the heck out of it. It's gonna change. If you're in a rough season, don't worry, it's gonna change. But sometimes when we go from good to what we perceive as bad, all of a sudden we really have to be careful, because we can start blaming God. "God, why did you lead me here? Why is this happening?" And we can start blaming God in our own personal life for things going on, when we haven't realized that he's been faithful the entire time. That he has been faithful to be there through not just the good times, but the bad times as well. And so here is the prophet, and we'll jump into verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise and go forth to Zinah, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, and he went. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I might drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I gather it a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. Allow it to be life unto us. And so, yes, I start off the talk today with a very beautiful and exciting word. So I might eat and I can go and die. So we kind of jumped in right in the middle, but what had taken place here is a severe drought that actually this prophet had said would happen. He marched into the king throne room and he said, "King, it's not going to rain a drop until I speak." And then the king got extremely mad at him and he said, "Not even any dew is going to land on the ground, and it's a severe famine that's going to take place, and it's not going to change until I actually speak the rain into existence." And then he got out of town as fast as he could, because all of a sudden the king wanted to hunt him down. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to torture him until he spoke again for rain. And so the Lord leads him at first up in the first few verses up here. He leads him to this beautiful place. It said this brook would flow and it had beautiful water. And it's so crazy because ravens would feed him twice a day. They'd bring him bread to eat. How wonderful of a place that would be. How wonderful would of a place of that to be just to spend the rest of your life. And we go camping and we try to find places like that. It's these beautiful spots. You know, in our lives, we find ourselves sometimes, and we find ourselves in these seasons of goodness and of mercy and of everything is just wonderful, and my car is running, and my boss loves me, and my kids are getting great grades at school, and they're actually respecting things I tell them to do. Imagine that. You must not have teenagers. You know, we're having such a good life. And that's where we want to spend life. And too many times when those seasons go past us and things change, what we begin to pray for, rather than, God, what are you doing next? God, where are you leading me? Where are you guiding me? We're praying that the season somehow miraculously comes back and we get to relive what we once experienced when God is trying to lead us somewhere else. And so we are literally beginning to fight against what God, where God wants us to go, because we're praying so hard that time that we enjoyed, that year, that month, whatever it might be, that season that you're in, we're praying, God, bring it back. And God says, I can't, because you need to go forward. Because there's other people, there's other places, there's other situations that need to hear the voice of God speak into their lives through your voice and for who God's called you to be. And you can't do that by spending the rest of your life at this brook, being fed by my hand. You can't spend it in this area, because there's people that need to hear you right now. But we're praying, we say, God, just bring it back. God, bring the water back, bring the food back, bring everything back, because I was so comfortable there. And I hate to say it, and it goes against the modern day theology, God doesn't really care so much about your comforts. Isn't so much concerned about the fancy car you drive or about the biggest house that you live in. But he cares about your life making an impact with the message that he has given you in your personal life. If that's comfort, there's some comfort there. If that's uncomfortability, then sometimes you have to be uncomfortable. And so here he is, and it says in verse 7, I like what it says. It said, and it happened. Because guess what, church? In your life, it's going to happen, and you can fill in whatever it that you want to in that phrase right there, because it is. Things are going to change. Situations are going to take place. The car all of a sudden is going to break down. It's going to have a flat tire. Your boss is going to, you're going to walk in, and your boss might not be happy with you that day. Your kids are going to disrespect you. Life is going to change very quick, and it is going to happen. It says, okay, now what? And there's times in our life where, yeah, sometimes it's our fault, and other times it's just part of life. So now what? Do I sit there and say, God, bring it all back? Do I sit there and say, God, if you could just bring back years ago? Or do I begin to say, God, what are you doing in my life right now? In what ways are you moving? In what ways are you creating? In what ways and what areas do you want me to go into? Or do I just sit there and say, well, if I sit here long enough, it's going to happen again. It says, and it happened that the brook dried up. Well, if I just sit here long enough, it's going to start flowing again. I'm just sure of it. If I just wait patiently, if I just sit here, if I just long for the good old days and the good old times, they're all going to come back eventually. And we spend our lives wishing for a moment that has passed us by to return, that will never return. We long for a day that will never repeat itself again. And said the brook had dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Prophet, you can't sit there forever because you're the one that spoke the dryness into the land. And it says, and the word of the Lord came. Get up and go. There's a time in our lives as we're going through transition periods and we're going through one season to the next that God might speak to us inside of us and begin to create something and begin to speak something brand new into our lives. But it's up to us to begin to hear that voice of God and say, okay, God, what is that next thing? Where are you leading me? Where are you directing me? Where are we going with this thing? Not to sit there and begin to argue with God. Not begin to sit there and have a pity party. Not to begin to sit there and complain to him. But God, the ravens were so great. The brook was so beautiful. Why do you want me to get up? See, because he had a few other things going on here. He was a wanted man. And so what God was telling him to go to is to an area that the king was inhabiting that wanted him dead. But God, don't you know what's going on? You know, as if God doesn't. We go, God, don't you see what's happening? If I go there, there's a good chance somebody's going to recognize me and they're going to turn me in. Then he's going to torture me and kill me. But God didn't say, argue. Or we're really good at trying to say, okay, well, I'm going to see if this is really the voice of the Lord. I'm going to talk to 50 different people, and I'm going to get their opinions, and the two that agree with me, I'm going to say, that's what God wants me to do. Well, we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we're not really praying for God's will, but we're praying, God, my will. We're fighting against him because we're trying to convince him of what we want to do. And God simply said, go and arise. Go and arise in an uncomfortable place. Go and arise and begin to be a blessing to people that you're going to meet there. But you're not going to be able to be a blessing to others if you just sit there by the brook wishing it to come back, wishing for a season to revisit itself. And he gets up and he goes. And the Lord said, I'm going to prepare a widow woman for you to feed you. And he goes there and he says something very strange. Because at this point, the land had been totally scorched by this horrific drought. It was clear and evident everywhere. Animals were dying. It was pretty horrific times that they were getting into. It had been years since there was a decent crop. And he goes there, and the very thing that would be very costly, he demands, he asks for. Looks at her and says, bring me a cup of water. Don't you know it's been kind of dry here lately? Don't you know that that's kind of something that doesn't just happen anymore? He says, go and bring me a cup of water. So she goes and she begins to go get that. Then all of a sudden he says another demand on her. He says, and when you return, give me some bread. And she recognizes that he is a Jew. She might not recognize he's a prophet. And she's a Gentile. She's outside of the religious laws that they had in those days. She looks at him and says, your God is in all this. Not my God, your God. In fact, it's so bad that I'm a widow woman. I don't have anybody to care for me. And apparently she didn't have any family around there because she didn't have anybody caring for her. And the only person that she cared for was her son. And she's in a poverty situation. He said, if I do this thing, if I give this thing to you, we don't have anything. We don't have much anyway because we were literally going to eat it and die anyhow. And so now it is up to her to be faithful to what God has called her to do and asked of her. And sometimes as God asks us to do things, he can place us in some pretty uncomfortable situations. He can begin to stretch us so much, but when he begins to stretch us, it's so that he can be able to find a different way to bless us inside of our stretching. We need to begin to get comfortable with this idea that God wants to stretch me because we will never grow. We will never flourish. We will never have an impact in our lives if we just stay confined in our comfort zone. And I think spiritually, many of us are within this area of where the widow woman was, where we're saying, well, I'm just going to eat that a little bit and I'm going to die anyway. Because spiritually, it's too hard for me to stretch myself. Spiritually, it's too hard to grow. Spiritually, it's just too much when God begins to demand some things upon my life. And she begins to tell him, if I do this, I'm going to die. And we're good at telling God why we can't. We're good at telling God that I can't because I don't have enough. Well, why doesn't he go and ask my neighbor? My neighbor's got plenty. They got flour all over the place. Oil all over the place. I don't have anything to give. And we look at our lives, and I'm as a preacher, I look at other preachers, and I'm just like, God, they're so talented. That takes me some real work to put these things together. And they get up there and they preach, you know, the heavens down. It's amazing. And I look at people that sing and play musical instruments, and I'm just like, man, I could never do that. Lord, you put a real shallow end of the talent pool when you created me. And you just gave some people so much talent, inexhaustible talent. And we begin to look at what everybody else has and say, God, they can be used by you because they have such an abundance, but I have such a lack in my own life, and there's no way that you can use me, somebody with so much lack. And we forget the areas of scriptures where Paul would talk to the church, and he says, God wants to use the foolish things to confound the wise. He wants to use you where you are at with your lack or your abundance, whatever you might have that makes you uniquely you, and begin to develop those things and use you. Even when you look at God and say, I can't because I don't. And God says, good, because you can, because you don't. Because if it was just up to us and our own talent, then we could always rely on our talent, and we would never have to worry about giving God any glory. But when we have to begin leaning on Him, leaning on our lack, and saying, God, I don't have enough. God, I feel weak. And then all of a sudden we're reminded of Paul when he says, in my weakness, I have been made strong. Because when we begin relying on God in our weakness, when we begin relying on God in our lack, we begin relying Him, all of a sudden He is exalted in our lives. And other people around us begin to see the testimony and the goodness of God operating in our lives. But we can't sit there and say, God, it's because I don't. I can't. I don't have enough, so I can't. Because with God, all things are truly possible. And she goes out there and she prepares him and she blesses him. And she goes there and she begins preparing that, and he feeds him, and all of a sudden a supernatural miracle happens where she never runs out of oil. She never runs out of flour for the entire time. Every day they would eat this bread. She would never run out. She always had enough. Miracle after miracle. And they would spend some serious time together as they would go through, and they would go through most of the drought together for the rest of the time. But just as up in verse 7, and it happened again. Because by now the drought had gotten so bad. They had seen so much death all around them. And all of a sudden her young son dies. Notice the first thing she does is just like so many of us when life happens. She begins to blame God. And she goes to the prophet, and her son is dead, and she looks at him and says, did you just come here to heap more tragedy on me? Did you just come here to do this thing? And I thought that we were going through this thing together, and I thought that God was blessing us, and I thought life was going to be good, and I thought things were going to be comfortable. Then all of a sudden, it happens, and my son is dead. Everything that I loved is now absolutely gone. And we find ourselves, and we go through situations, we begin to blame God so quickly. And He's the very one that can transform a situation in an instant. The very one that is looking at us and saying, are you going to be faithful during this time? So she proved how faithful she was. The prophet proved how faithful they are. And I would say in 2018, the church world, faithfulness is such a short supply. People are so unfaithful. They'll show up for a small season. They'll give God a little bit. But the faithfulness bucket in their life is very shallow. And God is looking for faithfulness. God transformed her situation in a moment. The prophet went and he rose the son back, and she received the son back, and there was joyous times, and they praised the Lord together. But what if the situation doesn't change? What if this is it? What if this is as good as it gets? And I'm not trying to speak that over your life, but what if the reality is the situation that you're in is it's going to be? Or maybe it's going to be a long season. Will you choose to stop giving God praise? Will you choose to stop being faithful in your areas of your life because you don't see His hand? Or are you going to live out the definition of faithfulness and say, I'm going to be faithful even when I don't see His hand, because I know He's still there, working and active in my life? Church, we have an opportunity in each and every single one of our lives. And I don't know what season that you're in, but you have an opportunity to be faithful and to continue moving forward. Or you have the opportunity to sit there and begin to blame God and to begin to go through the motions. And I hope and I pray this morning that you will choose to seek after Him like never before in your life, that you will choose to run after the Lord and His faithfulness and His goodness for your life. The season that you're in, it will change. It will happen. whether it's for the better or if it's for the worst. But God's presence is always there because he has never changed in our lives. It doesn't shock God when we go through situations. It doesn't surprise him. He doesn't have to call an angel committee together and say, how are we going to help poor Tim? He's going through a really rough patch and I don't understand and I don't know what to do. No, God is still God and he is still faithful and he is still love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are today, Lord. Father, that in our own personal lives, wherever we find ourselves at, Father, you are still faithful. Lord, that you are there. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Help us in our weakness to continue to be faithful to you and to run after what you have for us and allow us where we're at to make an impact in other people's lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.